Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 8, we're working through in our study of the life of Samuel, and we're going to see how God uses him to spell out for the children of Israel the results of their desire to have a king. In other words, he spells out to them the consequences of their choice. I think it's so important that we spend time teaching our children, teaching our young people, that every action always has an opposite and equal reaction. Now, we understand and know that as a very important law in our universe, but somehow when it comes to life choices, we kind of ignore that and throw that out. When you make a choice, it doesn't matter what it is, good choice, bad choice, there's a consequence that goes with it, all right? If I choose to buy a really expensive Learjet, all right, I'm going to go out there. Now, there's a whole series of consequences. I'm going to have to maintain that jet. I'm going to have to pay for its maintenance. I'm going to make sure I've got a good pilot. I've got to make sure I pay my fuel bill. I've got to make sure I've got permission to land at the next airport. There's a whole series of things that are packaged together with that Learjet that I just bought. Now, maybe I haven't thought about all those things. You think about what's involved. I watched a video. Somebody sent me a Department of Defense video that was taken out of world of espionage. And it was showing an Apache helicopter that was attacking a bunch of insurgents in Afghanistan. And the Apache helicopter was miles away, but with its radar and its ability to be able to see, it was focusing on these insurgents, and it was a nighttime raid. And the helicopter was miles away, and you're watching these insurgents moving around, moving trucks around, and so forth like that. And the call comes in, the laser's on the insurgents. Fire. You hear that code coming in. Apache firing. Okay? Now, at that moment, there was a rocket that was unleashed from that helicopter. And you see the insurgents. They're all running around and doing their thing. And you'll hear this little countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you saw the result of an action that was taken a few moments before. And all of a sudden, you see this massive explosion. And then when the dust clears, you see all the bodies are glowing on the ground. All right? Now, that space of time when the trigger was activated to when that bomb was going to go off, those individuals did not know that they were about to slip off into eternity. The moment that he triggered that, they had no idea that a helicopter pilot was over on the other side and just released a Hellfire missile that's going to destroy and kill all those individuals. Think of it this way. We live in Florida and we have flies. You ever get a fly that gets in the house? Okay. Somebody left the door open and the fly got in the house, you know. And we have these pesky flies. They're not content to go and just be in another part of the house. They got to be where you are. All right? So you get up and you go and you get your fly swatter. Okay? And you watch and you wait until the fly lands. And then you go into this super stealth mode. Right? Okay? And you move very slowly. It's like a cat sneaking up on a squirrel or something like that. You go into that super stealth mode. All the time, the fly is right there, okay? He doesn't know what's about to hit unless you don't aim very well, and then he doesn't care, you know? There he is. All this time is going. All of a sudden, wham, boom, got him. He's dead, okay? Now, here was a fly who was just minding his own business. Doors open. I'm going to go in the house. He's not thinking about that. He's not going to think, oh, there's a human being. I'm going to pester them. All right? He's just looking for food. That space of time, right here, he's right there. to
death
is unbeknownst to that individual. I want to tell you something right now. I have no idea what God has planned for you. But I know this, that every choice that you've made in life is going to have a consequence that plays out in your life. All right? Most people don't connect. They do not connect an action with a consequence. But you should. Are you listening to me this morning? You should. This is the whole point of 1 Samuel 8, verses 9 through 18. God says, I'm going to tell you in advance what's going to happen to you because of the choice that you're making. So let's look at it. God speaks to Samuel in verse 9. And He says to him, Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. In other words, I want you to spell out the consequences of their choice. So that's exactly what Samuel does. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king, and he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots, and he will take your daughters. Nobody's excluded here. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers, and he will take your fields. Oh, what? Huh? You're going to take my kids? And you're going to take my fields? Now notice what he says here. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards. Now notice, even the best of them, and give them to whom? His servants. But what's that sound like? That didn't sound too good. Are you thinking right now with me? Are you thinking about, here's my choice. I want a king. I want a king. Give me what I want. But over here is a list of all the things that my choice entails. He's going to take my son. He's going to take my daughter. You think about right now the military personnel that are stationed in the Gulf of Oman right now, the Strait of Hormuz, and the possibility that a war may break out between Iran and the United States. It's somebody's boys, somebody's girls that are on those ships. And if a rocket is fired and hits one of those ships, there are going to be people that are going to be dead. They're going to die. You think about that? You know, whenever we have an action, we must always consider that that action has a consequence over here. He's going to take your sons. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to take your land. And he's not just going to go and get the junky land pieces. All right? He's not going to go get the vacant lots. He's going to come after the best. Shouldn't that cause you to pause for just a moment and say, and let your eyes get a little bit bigger? Say, now, wait a minute. Is this really what I want? Is this really what I want? No, not these people. Children of Israel, no, they're not even thinking about that. Notice what else. Verse 15, and he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He's going to tax you. He's going to take a tenth of what you possess, and he's going to give it to his officers in charge, and he's going to give them to his servants. You mean he's not going to pay for it? No, he's going to take it and give it to the state. Verse 16, and he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work, and he will take a tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in that day. When all this happens, You're going to cry out, why is this happening to us? How is this happening? He's taking all this stuff in taxes. He's taking our sheep. He's taking our seed. He's taking our daughters. He's taking our sons. He's taking our land. You're going to cry because of your king which you have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Now notice the deep thinking Israelites here. The ones that are considering and weighing their choice. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need thy help. We need to have a clear understanding of the choices that we make. Oh, we may think that, oh, this is a great idea. This is wonderful. This is good. And have no consideration for the consequences of that choice. Father, I pray that you might work in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, I was out at the ballpark and I was approached by a young lady. And she was holding a child in her hands. And it was a girl that had played ball in our program. And I said, hey, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time. How old are you now? Oh, I'm 30. I said, 30 years old? You just wasn't too long ago. You were a 5-year-old running around on the pro tee field. Yeah. Do you remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you. I remember it. He said, no. Do you remember what happened to me? My mom came to you a number of years ago, and I thought back. I said, yeah, I remember. She came home to her mother at age 15 and told her mother, I had an abortion. My boyfriend got me pregnant. I got an abortion. I don't know how she did it, but her mother was completely devastated by that. And the mother had come up to the ballpark and she had younger children. She told me about that and she asked me to pray about that whole situation. And this girl, age 30, came back and she said, you know what? That was 15 years ago. There's not been a day that has gone by in my life that I don't live with regrets. Because now I'm holding this little child and I've got one playing ball up here and there's one that's not here. There's one that's not here because I killed it. I try to cover up something. Try to make it go away. And every day I go by, and she said, I wrote down on a calendar many, many years ago the day I had the abortion. And all I could think about was going from that particular time, adding the months to it, what would have been the birthday of that child. Living with consequences. Oh, how much better to consider and to weigh things with the Word of God. If she had just listened. But no, it was all about covering up the sin. This was a family that attended church. This was a family whose father was a deacon in the church. He stepped down after that. He said, I can't be a deacon anymore. My daughter's had an abortion. So I don't meet the criteria for being a leader in the church. Do you know how many churches have thrown the Bible out in that regard? They've just thrown the Bible out. I mean, we don't care about that. Pastor goes off and has an immoral relationship with somebody. We want him to stay. After all, he's a good Bible teacher. Yeah, but he's not living the Bible. That doesn't matter to us. God forgives. But God said in His Word that He's not qualified to preach. He needs to step down and get out of the pulpit. Go have a seat out in the pew and let somebody else do it that's got the call of God on their life and will follow the Word of God. He lost his moral authority. He has nothing to say. How is he going to preach on adultery from the pulpit when he committed it himself? This is what I'm saying, folks. We don't think today about consequences. Our children are growing up without them. A teacher sends home a note. How dare that teacher send home a note about my child? What's wrong with that teacher? Well, the teacher's trying to help your child. Why are you being so ugly and nasty about it? Why don't you help your child? There's nothing wrong with my child. My child's probably smarter than the teacher. Oh, well, I've met a lot of those through the years. I've been involved with teaching now for almost 34 years. You learn a lot over 34 years if you're paying attention. You know what I've learned? I've learned that some people can't be helped. No matter how hard you try, they just can't be helped. And sooner or later, there's a line that they step across and you have to say bye-bye. Because they don't want to be helped. They don't want to be helped. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't care anything about what? Consequences. I don't care anything about that. You know, I've witnessed a few car crashes through the years. When I was in Pensacola, our children were very young at that time. My wife and I were headed to Circuit City. That's a bygone business for those of you that don't know what Circuit City was. That was the early version of Best Buy, I guess. I don't know what you call it. But anyway, we were sitting there at the light right beside the Old Charlie's restaurant in Pensacola, facing south. For those of you that don't know north from south, okay, never mind. All right, we were sitting there and all of a sudden we heard screeching, I mean just squalling tires, and a car goes flying by us and there's a car turning in that road and it's nailed and the car spin around and steam and fuel, everything just splashing around, and I just gunned it. At that moment, I went around and pulled over into the parking lot there, and I jumped out and I ran over there. And what I saw was a lady on the passenger side, completely, the door was completely crushed around her legs. Okay? The husband was completely out. Both of them were out, unconscious. It was summertime, it was hot, and I was over there and I was trying to check their pulse or whatever. I called 911, I had my cell phone calling 911. We're trying to get help to them. And some individual walked up and said, "It's so hot in here, let's start the car so the air conditioner can be running." Now, I stood there. I was like in shock. And I grabbed their arm as they were reaching in. I said, "What are you doing? Look at your feet. Gas all over the place. You could see it pouring out of the gas can." I said, "You don't know what wires may be cut or whatever. You turn that key, you'll blow us all to kingdom come." "Oh, I didn't think about that." Now, they were well-meaning. Now, don't misunderstand me here. It was a well-meaning individual. They're thinking about the comfort of the people in there, but they weren't thinking about the consequences of their decision. That could have been bad for all of us. And instead of being two people hurt, you've got a whole bunch of other people burned badly because we didn't think about the consequence. I received a notice from a judge saying, "We need you to come to Pensacola to testify. This person's having their driver's license removed and there may be some other charges that are brought." The person that hit that car was a nurse that was getting off work that had not slept in 24 hours. She was half asleep when she went there. She wasn't paying anything attention. But you know what we found out at the trial? She had had 5 accidents prior. 3 people seriously injured and 2 more were added to it. Every time the accidents happened after she got off work, she was tired and she was driving. Another individual not thinking about what? Consequences. Should she have been driving? No, she should have had somebody come pick her up. If she battled that sleep problem while driving, she didn't need to be driving, but she said, "I'll make it home. I've done it before, I'll make it home." And there was a total of 5 people. They took away her license. She had to serve a jail term because of what she had done, because she had been warned by a previous judge not to be driving. It was very sad. She cried in there as I sat there and listened to her. "This is my livelihood. I have children at home. You're taking away my license." And the judge said, "Ma'am, would you take a look over at this lady over in the wheelchair? I want you to look at her. You've got 2 minutes to look at her." I want you to look at her. She's crippled for the rest of her life. She'll never walk again. What about her? What about the other four people that you've injured? Your actions have consequences. You talk about riveting testimony. There could have a pin dropped on the carpet. You would have heard it that day. It was a lesson for all that was there that your actions do have consequences. And God had a whole nation listen to Samuel speak to him that day. I want to tell you, everybody here, I want to tell you what your choice is going to mean. You're going to lose your kids. You're going to lose your property. You're going to lose your seed. You're going to lose things that are the very best. Twice that word's used there. Did you see that? Catch that in the text? Look at verses 14 and 16. The best taken away. Even the best. Because of your choice. And what was the response? What was the response? Nevertheless, the people refused to obey. The idea behind this word refused is that they had already erected a barrier in their minds that nothing Samuel said would make any difference. The Hebrew word there carries that connotation. They had already made up their mind. It didn't matter what he said, what he was going to share, what illustrations he was going to give. It did not matter. They'd already made up their minds. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. We've got kids today. We've got millennials today. We've got people all across our world today that have already made up their minds about certain things, and you can't tell them different. You can't tell them any different. I'm going to give you a few illustrations here that I hope will help us to understand why these people responded with no regards to consequences. Why did they do that? We look at it and say, boy, that was just dumb. Why did they do that? We're looking at it through the lens of what? History. And yet we do the same thing too. We don't realize it many times, but we do the same thing too. We'll have an action, and then sometime, remember the space of time between the fly landing here and my fly swatter? Okay? Death was intended way back here. Right? And in that motion, death is coming, death is coming, death is coming. Same thing with the rocket from the Apache helicopter. The rocket leaves. Death is coming, death is coming, death is coming. It hasn't reached us yet. We must be okay, right? Death is coming, death is coming, death is coming. Oh, we're all right. Keep loading the trucks. We're going to move out here in just a few moments. And then all of a sudden, boom! And they're all gone. Death was coming the whole while. But they didn't realize that the consequence of being an insurgent, being a terrorist, was going to come that day and at that hour. Number one, I want you to think with me. Why the people responded with no regard for consequences? What kind of mindset ignores consequences? Number one, the careless mindset. The careless mindset. You know what careless is? Just don't care. You just don't care. I don't care. You know, do you want that from an airline pilot? You're walking on the airplane, Southwest Airlines, leaving out of Pensacola. Walk up in there, there's a pilot. I don't care whether this plane makes it to Washington, D.C. or not. You know what this boy's doing? If he hears a pilot say that, I'm turning around. Yeah, but you'll lose money. Yeah, but I'll lose my life with that attitude. How many of you want a pilot that's careless? What? How about a surgeon? Okay. How about a surgeon that's careless? He just doesn't care. You know, whether you live or die, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm going to get my money from the insurance company. No, you don't want that kind of a doctor. You want a careless mechanic? Do you want a careless, your gas heater goes out. Do you want a careless HVAC guy walking in there? You know, I don't care whether I put enough sealant on the piping or not. I don't care if the gas leaks. Not my house. That's what a lot of people do. I don't care whether I break that I borrowed from a neighbor. It's not mine. You see where it starts? It starts with a careless mindset. Whatever. They go on to say, well, I'm not worried. That's a famous saying. I'm not worried. It's not going to happen to me. Number two, what kind of mindset ignores consequences? The rebellious and insubordinate mind. The rebel mind. They don't want anyone telling them that they can't do something. Don't tell me I can't do that. Don't tell me not to do that. You ever once in a while get those kind of children in summer day camp? And it usually happens at swim time. All right? Do not go in the pool area until the lifeguard tells you to come into the pool area. And what happens? Go walking into the pool area. Get back over here. You don't have your life jacket on. Where are you going?
I'm going to go swimming.
Well, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go right to the bottom. Get over here and get your life jacket on. No thought for what? Consequences. No thought. Absolutely none. You tell somebody not to do something and then they want to do it automatically because I was told I can't do it. The rebellious insubordinate is the one that's going to suffer the most. The way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. How many of you believe the Bible? Okay. How many believe that the way of the rebellious and the way of the insubordinate is hard? Yeah. Bible says so. But some people have to go to the school of hard knocks to learn it. And sometimes that's the best school they can go to. Because that's the only way they're going to get it. They're going to get it that way. Number three, there's another group that responds ignoring consequences. It's the ignorant and the stupid. The just plain dumb. Can we still say that anymore? Is that all right? To say stupid and dumb? I know we're living in times where people are so sensitive. But you know what? When I was a kid, I did some dumb things. My older brother Doug was making a cast net. He was really good at it. He learned from Mr. Tom Moore, who was our barber, how to make cast nets. For going out and catching, you know, fish that's going to be used for bait fish. And so he was making it. And I went up, I was young, and I went up and I said, Doug, how sharp is that knife? Dumb. Dumb as dirt. Okay? And he flipped the blade over and said, run your thumb across it. And guess the little donkey that went over there and did that? Yeah. Blood everywhere, squirting everywhere. I went running into my mom, Doug cut me with. And it wasn't Doug. It was dummy. It was the other D child. The dummy child. I ran my thumb across there and I cut my thumb open and I found out how sharp the knife was. You know what I do now? I just assume that the knife is what? Sharp. I learned something from that. For years I had a scar right down the middle of my thumb and I'd look at it and say, dummy! Just plain dumb. We got a lot of dumb people in this world. Can we just own up to that? We got a lot of dumb people. And dumb people do dumb things. But you know what? They still get consequences. Being ignorant. I didn't know. I'll never forget. I was 9 years old. My brother and I played on a baseball team out here at the ballpark. And we had two brothers. There were two sets of brothers on the team. There was Roger and I, and there was another set of brothers. And the other set of brothers were really good ball players. One of them played shortstop. The other one pitched for our team. And I remember when Coach Jordan came to us on a game day and said, the name of the boy, I'm not going to say his name, said, he cut his toes off in a lawnmower accident. And all I could think, my brother and I, we knew what lawnmowers were about because we spent a lot of time on the backside of one pushing it. And we were pushing lawnmowers, and we knew what happened. He was pushing. This is the days before they put guards on them, okay, the old-timey lawnmowers. And he was pushing like this, and he went and he turned around to pull it like this, and he pulled his foot like this and pulled the lawnmower up there and cut his big toe off, cut the other toes off. The only thing that was left was the pinky toe. I will never forget whenever he came back weeks later, into the ball season, he came back to watch a game, and he unbandaged his foot for us to see it. I'd never seen anything more grotesque in all my life. I had tears welling up in my eyes, thinking about what pain he must have gone through when that lawnmower blade cut off. But you know what he said? He said, I learned something. I never walk backwards with a lawnmower. That's how I cut my toes off. And you know what? That lesson spoke to my brother and I. We still talk about it today. That was 45, 46 years ago. He's lived his whole life with a special shoe that had to be made for him so he could keep his balance as he was walking. Every day, every step he makes takes him back 46 years ago. Remembering what happened on that day when he turned like this and he pulled the lawnmower up and it went over his toes and chopped them off. Actions have consequences even when you do ignorant and dumb things. Number four, one more group. What group, what kind of mindset ignores consequences? Number four, the know-it-all group. The know-it-all group. You ever met the know-it-all group? Know-it-all individuals? Man, they've got it. Don't worry about me. I got it. Okay? They know everything. There's nothing on earth that they don't know. If you took them up to outer space, they'd be able to figure out the trajectory and they'd be able to figure out how to work all the equipment without ever having to study. You know, the know-it-all group. We've all grown up with kids like that. We've all met people along the way that you couldn't tell them anything. They knew it all already. Let me show you that I already know. Oh, okay. Let me show you. I already know that. I've already done that. Okay? I remember. We borrowed Mr. Joe Anderson's old Fordson diesel tractor. My dad used it to cultivate the garden. And it was not gas. It was diesel. But when you looked at the tractor, it looked like a gas tractor to a kid. I grabbed the gas can and I filled up the old Fordson diesel with gas. Okay? I thought I knew. The tractors my dad had before, I put gas in them. So I put gas in them. I knew it all. Except when we were out there having to purge the tank out and purge the engine out. I remember sitting out there for hours, had a little teeny tiny lever on the fuel injector system, and I sat there. I thought I knew it all. I guess I didn't. Didn't know. The know-it-all group. We don't have to worry about consequences because I know it all. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be smart. Smarter than consequences. I'm going to eliminate them. There are some people that spend their whole life trying to eliminate consequences, trying to be smarter. You know where most of them end up? Jail. Prison. There's a lot of know-it-alls in prison. But they didn't think that they were going to get caught. The Bernie Madoffs of the world. What's that attorney that was representing that Stormy Daniels? Avenatti or whatever his name was. Boy, he was out there. He was strutting in front of the TV and he was a commentator for CNN or whatever. You know where he is today? He's in jail. And he's going to be there for a very long time because he was stealing from his clients and he got caught. From the clients, he was stealing money from them. Blackmailing his own clients. Hey, you don't pay me a little extra money, I'm going to go and tell them some of the things I know about you. So much for attorney-client privilege, right? So he's rotting in jail. He thought he was smarter than everybody else. The know-it-all group. So let's go through them again. The careless, I'm not worried. I don't care. The rebellious and insubordinate, no one's going to tell me I can't do something. I don't care about consequences. The three, the stupid and the ignorant, they have no common sense that actions have consequences. And then finally, the know-it-all group. They don't think it will happen to them because they will somehow outsmart the system and no consequences will come their way. That's what they think. There was a mixture of all of those in this crowd that day. There was a mixture of all of those that sat there and listened as Samuel, with a burdened heart, laid it all out. He's going to take your sons. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to take your property. He's going to take your money. He's going to take this. He's going to take that. And the people said, "We don't care. We will have a king." Where are you at this morning? Maybe you're a Christian and you got this kind of an attitude. I don't care about consequences. Nothing's going to happen to me. I know Jesus, so nothing's going to happen to me. Let me tell you something. Don't use Jesus as an excuse to sin. Consequences are still going to come your way, and you can't stop them. And they'll usually flood in groups of 100 at a time. How many of you as Christians have noticed that? You've done something, and you thought you got away from it, and then the consequences come, and then another consequence, and another one, and then it just seems like a whole flood. And, oh, what's all this happening? Yeah, back here. Let's go back upstream and see what happened. I'm thankful that Israel had Samuel because everything that he said came true. Everything. Everything that was said about Saul happened. Took the children, took the money, did all of those kind of things, and the people cried out. Because the king that they chose later on went insane, and they had to live with all those consequences. Isn't that sad? To have to live a life full of consequences because we chose against God's will. Why don't you choose in God's will and enjoy the good consequences that come? Isn't that about, we didn't take time to talk all about that. But you know, there's wonderful good things that come to those that honor the Lord in their choices. Take to heart the message of Samuel. Don't be like the Israelites. We're going to have a king and refuse to obey. When you cry because of your choice, what's the latter part of that verse? The Lord will not hear you. That's the final consequence. You're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to suffer it because you chose to go against God's will. Father in heaven, teach us from your word today. Lord, we're living in days where consequences are erased, at least they think they are. Try to take away consequences from individuals who do things that are in violation of policy or rules or laws or things that are known to be true and known to be right. We go against that and then we try to erase those consequences. They will still come. Consequences will take all manner and forms that you've seen because inherent in the sin is the package of consequences. They all come together. There's no avoiding it. The only reason that we will avoid hell is because Jesus Christ already went through hell for us. The consequence was not erased on Jesus. It was borne by the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for allowing your Son to come and to bear our hell, our eternal damnation, to bear it for us that we might know that forgiveness that only you can give. Father, I pray that you'd work in the hearts and lives of our children, our high schoolers, college students, our adults that are here today that have lived life. Lord, these lessons are still vital and real. And sometimes we don't realize that we may be enduring the consequences of choices that we've made in the past, and maybe it took a while for that hammer to come down, that fly swatter to hit, that rocket to reach its destination. But it's coming. Help us, dear Lord, to do what's right with our lives and to honor Thee. And may we learn the lesson of Samuel, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.